Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show. I want to welcome onto the show Dara Bergeron. Hello, my darling.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good. But this isn't about me. This is about you, Dara.
It was so female of me.
I know, so Canadian. By the way, Dara's very Canadian. She just said she's an egg.
I was an egg. I was a Canadian egg. You were making a reference to a British television show that probably aired before I was even like a glint in anyone's eye.
Oh, I'm not that old, but yes, probably. Dara and I met through friends of friends of friends in Toronto when we were both doing active classes, strength classes, for different sort of communities. Mine was more over 40 women and Dara's is very much the new mum crowd. But we all knew each other and we would all say hi and have a coffee or whatever. And so I love Dara. I love everything she stands for. Dara, jump in now and tell us a little bit about yourself and like how you got to be where you are now. That would be great to hear.
I started in the fitness industry a really long time ago, about 20 years ago. It was kind of like an accidental thing. I was going to university and I was planning to go to law school and became a bit of a gym rat in my spare time. And then that turned into kind of like an entry level trainer job and so on. And over the years, I decided to just continue pursuing this as a career. I never went to law school in the end. So, and my lawyer friends tell me that was the right choice. So I trained a lot of mainstream, you know, like what we call gen pop, like typical, you know, men and women in a gym setting. And then when I had my first baby, I left the medical clinic that I was working at and I started something called Belly Boot Camp, which the concept was just to provide strength classes, like strength and conditioning classes at a high level, high quality level, but with babies alongside, basically. So we did that, started in 2009, and now we have tons of classes across Toronto and expanding into some of the, what we call the greater Toronto area. So for a big city like that, the rest of the world might think of it as Toronto, but we look at it as different cities like Pickering, yeah, Vaughan, et cetera. And then on this, the other thing I've done is, as I've kind of aged out of the pregnancy and postpartum stage myself, is I partnered up with a really great trainer who's a longtime girlfriend of mine and a fellow mom trainer. And we started an online business called Mama Reset. And so we do a 6-week online Mama Reset course, which is a sort of rehabilitating core and pelvic floor and building up basic foundational strength for moms who either have delivered recently or maybe you're like 40, 45, 50 and have never gone back and done that step-by-step rehab. And so we're still having symptoms and not feeling so great. And then we also have a membership site that we're launching this fall, which will have on-demand videos and principal workouts and stuff like that. So that's what I'm doing.
That's amazing. So the Mama Reset thing, I agree. It doesn't need to just be for new mums, because what a lot of women in my community are noticing as they get older, and especially with the lack of estrogen through the pelvic floor, is those dysfunctions that were never really taken care of. And I don't mean that in a judgment way, but the knowledge was definitely not there. Those things are coming back
to sort of bite them. And so, but the thing is, great thing about sort of pelvic floor dysfunction, diastasis recti, where the core separates and lower back aches and all of those things can be actively worked on through exercise and make a massive difference. So that's great. That's so great. So I didn't realize that your company now had spread outside the walls of Toronto.
Well, we're working on it. It's a new thing. It's something I've been meaning to do for a long time. But you know, when you are a self-employed mom, or maybe just a work, let's just say a working mom, I would imagine it's the same whether you have a 9-to-5 or you're self-employed, but it's just that there's just, you have to triage your projects, and there's only so many things you can get done in a day or a week or a year. And so this is something I've been wanting to do, but maybe had a little bit of doubts and so didn't act on, and also just literally had small children and had very limited time.
So let's talk about, like, how many kids do you have now?
I have three.
Yeah.
Which is the new two. A lot of people are having three now.
But... Yeah. I'm stick with the old two.
That's a good strategy. You're not outnumbered.
Yeah. And I remember, like, seeing you, like, around Toronto, and you, like, kids hanging off you and asleep in the car, and you really kept it real. And I think that's probably why you were so popular, because you're very, very relatable. And that's sort of why I asked you on the show today, apart from I really do enjoy talking to you, but also because I think we're very similar in our viewpoints about where we feel the fitness industry is, where it's come to, maybe because of our own experience, and then how that reflects on our clients and our community and people that follow us. And I'd like to start by even just talking about the post that you did today on Instagram. And this is how it starts. It made me laugh. It's very you, Sarah. This post was very you, but she says, bingo wings, bat wings, arm flab, armpit cleavage, thighs, and
arm gina.
Oh, like a vagina. Oh, I should have got on. And then my one I would like to add to that one is fletchkas, because I had a Jewish client who knew some Yiddish, and she said there is a Yiddish word called fletchkas for your bingo wings, and I love it.
Hilarious.
Who knew?
Universal and old, apparently. You're universal in an old area to hate.
I know. And the thing is, it's so good that you talk about this, because it's a fun intro to the post, but there's a real message behind it. And I mean, it's all about our body, our image, how we talk about ourselves, the fact that you have said, you know, you could feel shitty about the size of your arms or the shape of your arms. And so do you want to just sort of, like, introduce us, like, the listener now to, like, your viewpoint on all of this and why you talk like you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, from a personal perspective, I think, like, a lot of the women that I worked alongside in the fitness industry, especially those of us who came up in it during, like, the cardio and bodybuilding years of, like, the 80s and 90s and early aughts, I had pretty serious eating disorder and disordered eating, body image issues, like, masked by my profession. So it was really easy for me to continue with these, like, unhealthy emotional and physical behaviors, because it was what was considered appropriate for someone who had worked in the fitness industry. And when I started having kids, I was still trapped in that cycle. And then just as I think as I aged and I had my third child and I gained much more experience working with my fellow moms, and that in the last 5 years since my third was born, I had a difficult period of some postpartum depression. I've always struggled a little bit with depression and anxiety. It goes hand in hand, I think, with body image and eating disorder issues for a lot of people. And that period was really difficult, and it made me really become disenchanted with my work. I started to reflect on messaging I had used and tools and resources I had used with clients over the past, you know, 15 years, and I felt ashamed. I felt like there wasn't a path for me in the fitness industry, and I felt trapped because I had devoted so much of my life. I like to say sometimes now when I look back, like, I became a professional eating disorder. You know, I abandoned, although I'm not sure I would have enjoyed a career in law as much as I've enjoyed being self-employed. I left my academic pursuits, and a large part of the reason I did that was because I was harbored safely and allowed to continue with my obsessive behaviors. as a trainer. And so now looking back, I have some regrets about that. If I'm being realistic, I'm not like a no regrets kind of person, you know. I do have some regrets about how I spent my time, and I wish I could say I was further on this journey than I am. But the fact is, I'm a few years into it now. I've come out of the fog, and what I see in the fitness industry in the last, especially the last year, I feel like couple of years, is that I feel more surrounded by people who think like me and see what we all used to do and what the mainstream media and fitness industry is still doing, and we see it for what it is. And people are starting to poke at it, you know, women, people of color, people with differently abled bodies, people with different body sizes and shapes are starting to poke at it and say, hey, you know, like, health is for everyone, and we're not going to be held down by this kind of messaging any longer. And that, although it's not, I'm not particularly disadvantaged in our health system as a, you know, like a white, relatively small woman, you know, but it gives me that confidence that we're going in a place with the fitness industry that I feel like I could continue to earn money in this industry in a way that feels aligned with my ethics. And that's no longer marketing. For me, it's no longer marketing fat loss to women who've just had babies, or, you know what I mean? Those kinds of things tend to be in my niche.
Niche, darling. You're Canadian. You don't say niche. It's niche.
I always said niche. And I think what happened, I moved and started saying niche.
Go back to niche. You're really French in down there somewhere. No, but that's a really great message. And, you know, I think that any trainers listening to this who've been through the decades of the fitness industry have all got regrets. I have too. And it's just like, because you feel like what you're doing at the time is the right thing. Everybody else is doing it. You feel that, you know, this is what people want to hear. I mean, for all that I don't want to talk about fat loss as being an issue, I do, because it's the thing that people still ask me about all the time. So I would be doing a disservice to my community if I didn't talk about it, but it's the way we talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that that's what the change in most of us are seeing now. We're seeing the point where we talk about things in using different words and a different approach, and we understand that, you know, that the forced way of eating in the past has caused so many eating disorders. The way that we're portrayed as being fit and healthy in the media has caused body image issues, and then for me, just to back on top of that, like the ageism that exists around the health and fitness industry as well. I mean, I'm knocking on the door of 50 now, and I'm really a has been in this industry.
Well, that's not you know, your posts, Amanda, when you started shifting your business to menopause, I mean, like more specifically, so that's part of the reason your stuff really resonates with me, Amanda. And when you switched your focus more to menopause, I'm still here for it, even though I'm probably, you know, pre-menopausal for quite a while. So I'm 38, but I'm aware that that's in my near future, first of all. And what I'm also acutely aware of, since I had my third baby and since I decided that that was going to be the last baby, there's no more going back to pregnancy and kind of hiding behind that. I've had to accept the fact that our culture looks at me differently now. I'm no longer a fertile vessel. I'm no longer I'll never be a beautiful pregnant woman. I'll never again be valued for my youth. I'll not be valued for adhering to the ideal of a, you know, 19-year-old skinny white girl's appearance. And I had that once. And so to grieve that I was aligned with that, and that I attached so much of my value, that was my mistake, that I attached so much of my value to my appearance and to my youth and my ability. And now to see that we as postpartum women are so devalued. And so that devaluation, I think, starts in postpartum at the end of childbearing. And I think it continues as we age and we have these more visible signs of aging in our skin. You know, you posted about wrinkles the other day, and I'm noticing more gray hair, and I'm seeing women around me who are, you know, bucking that and growing out their gray hair, you know, and not filtering their photos. And that's encouraging to me, but I still think we have so far to go in acknowledging that women have a value outside of simply looking a certain way in order to attract men and to get pregnant and deliver health of a child. You know, that's...
You're banging on the table. I know you mean it. She's... But what an interesting statement. And honestly, I've never thought of it like that. But I love that you've highlighted it, that you believe that this devaluing of us starts postpartum. And I agree. I mean, I've had incidences like lots of other mums where someone's asked me when my baby's due and I've literally just given birth, you know, those type of conversations that like absolutely demoralizes, and then feeling like you're never going to be quite the person you were before. I mean, you know, the good thing about where I am in my life now is that I realize I don't want to be the person I was before. I'm pretty damn happy with the person I am now. And that's took a lot of work on my part. And I'm at the place where I feel I want women to get to, same as you, where you're like, you know, I'm actually really happy with my lot. I'm not actually trying to change anything. I'm actually here to say, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I like me. There's nothing wrong with me. and
maybe a few things, you know what I mean? Like, I can be a little impatient.
I'm joking, yeah, but...
When we pull back our gaze to not just hyper-focus in on our thinness or our youthfulness or, you know, whatever those ideals are.
It's great. And so for you, as you're working with these new mums, and I mean, Dara works with mums who like 6 weeks out of pregnancy, real new mums. And we see them in the park in Toronto with their workout bands. And it's actually really quite adorable to see doing lunge walks with their strollers. But the message that you're sending those moms is so positive, and they need to hear this, because the pressure for new moms to lose weight is just ridiculous, and it shouldn't be. It drives me crazy. And then for any mom that then holds on to any weight afterwards and doesn't, her body just doesn't pop back like society expects it to, is under a huge amount of pressure. And so, I mean, how do you reframe that for those moms? How do you, like, have that conversation with them?
Well, I think, you know, you referred earlier to people asking for fat loss. And for sure, we do still, you know, field a lot of inquiries. I'm aware that fat loss is on people's minds. But what I've done, especially over the last several years, is make a really concerted effort to call any, like, fat loss messaging from our branding. And that's been a deliberate decision in how we marketed Belly Bootcamp over the last couple of years, and also in the creation of Mama Reset. My partner Laura and I were adamant that we would at no point ever market our programs as delivering fat loss, toning, etc. It's not to say that's wrong, and I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with wanting to become leaner or to lose weight. And for sure, I work with clients who have medical considerations and are dealing with, you know, the recommendations of doctors that they lose weight. And that's a whole other thing to get into, the medical medical system's fat phobia. But I think what it comes down to is I had to decide which side of that line I was going to be on. Was I going to, you know, stand with the people who say, yes, you've got to lose weight in postpartum, it should be your number one focus at the expense of your sanity and your time with your children? Or was I going to say, what you should focus on is trying to, you know, improve your health, and then trust that your body will find the place that it wants to be when you show it love and care, you know? And so that's kind of how we've tried to emphasize strength and confidence and ability rather than thinness, leanness, or appearance.
Yeah, that's
not
really
always the best sell, though. I mean, people still want fat loss, right? So you sacrifice perhaps, you know, I think you do. I think you make a choice. Like, it's just not, you're not going to go for that cash grab of quick fat loss programs. Yeah.
Well, it's Annie Breeze, as we've spoken about earlier, is actually one of those great people, the warriors out there that, you know, she's trying to make a business by selling unsexy ways of staying healthy.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't advertise and go, join my, you might not lose any weight with me program. I don't really care program, you know, it's up to you actually. And so I understand that, but it's like, to me, I'm sort of maybe more centralist in that, because I want to find a place where women do feel like supported in fat loss goals if that's what they want, but not pushed to it if they don't want it. Because it's really, for me, everything in life should be about giving women education so they can make an informed choice from a place of non-emotion. It always has to have the non-emotional attachment to me, because if there's too much emotion associated with any goal, it means that we need to work on the emotional side first before we can start looking at other stuff, because it's just not going to answer those big questions that linger, right? There's something else I'd like to talk to you about, Dara, and you speak about this a lot, is like women, is mums, and I talk about mums of kids any age, not just new mums. I mean, I'm the same. I have a 16-year-old. It's just like how we like prioritize ourselves over our kids and not look like we're being selfish old cows, like deciding that, you know, we come first and we matter. And then in that message, like prioritizing our health, like our workouts, so we move every day and we feel strong and resilient. So that's something you touch on quite a lot in your work, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's a common vein, regardless of what stage of motherhood you're at, that allow, you know, as I've aged out of like that early prenatal, postnatal stage, I think that I've had to find what ties me still to my fellow mothers, even if we're not in the same stage. And I think what ties us is that feeling of that searching for that elusive balance, that balance we're all supposed to somehow craft. I don't know if balance really exists, but what I do know is you've got a limited number of hours in a day, and you demonstrate your priorities in how you spend your time. Now, that's a statement that comes from a place of privilege, 100%. And I'm speaking to those who have free time when I say that, because there are some women who, you know, when you're not satisfying basic needs, obviously you're not concerned with, you know, for that post, you know, how toned your triceps are or whatever, right? Perhaps, or at least you certainly can't probably afford to spend much time worrying about it. But for those who are in a place where they have the flexibility of their time, you know, you really have to demonstrate it with your prioritization. And that's, like you said, just taking the emotion out and saying realistically, is this a goal I actually want to pursue? Am I willing to devote the time that is required to pursue that goal? Or do I need to reevaluate my goal? Do I need to be 20% body fat? Do I have 2 hours a day to work out? Do I have 6 hours a day on Sunday to meal prep? And if when you put it down into the real nuts and bolts of things, I think what people can start to do as they go through a journey of self, you know, self-acceptance and breaking down some of the negative body image stuff that they've been fed since infancy, they can start to realize that there really are two sides to this. There's movement and feeling well and mobile and healthful, and then there's how you look. If you can start with the practical, prioritizing moving, whether that's choosing to walk to the grocery store a couple times a week, that can be small, the low-hanging fruit, you know, but we just start to prioritize movement. We start to prioritize those little moments. And it could be reading a book for 5 minutes before bed instead of being on your phone. It doesn't have to be always exercise. It doesn't have to be always chicken and broccoli. There's lots of ways to start to take care of yourself. And I think those things really accumulate as you do them. And then we start to see the value in them as we feel calmer, we feel more mobile, we have less pain, we have a little more stamina, we feel more patient with our children. And then we realize maybe our body hasn't changed, but look what else has changed. And I think then we can start to see that there's so much more value and power in finding ways that are meaningful to you to take care of yourself, and in realizing that that appearance really has nothing, very little to do with those things. You know, when it comes down to it, you ask someone who's injured or in pain or ill, if you've been through one of those situations, if you've been in chronic pain or you've been injured and unable to be mobile, or you've been ill and unable to do the things you want to do, when it gets down to the wire, the way you look does not really matter.
No, and I would add to that, and any mental health issues, yeah, as well, because they can be debilitating.
Exactly.
Of course, as we know. And so when you've been, when you've experienced any of those elements that you've spoken about, then I think it really does help you shift your priorities. And I think most people fall into one of those categories.
Well, yeah, at some point or another. Yeah.
It's like when you start dating when you're 45, 50, you're going to meet someone with baggage. We all come with it, right? You're never going to, you know, you're never going to meet someone who doesn't have something inherently that, that, you know, they're carrying. And so I think that's a great message. And I really like the low hanging fruit thing. And I like to talk about those in like those small wins and how they really matter. So like for a mum who's like working a 9-to-5 job plus, because everybody works longer than that now and is trying to do the shopping and the laundry and cook the dinner, do the homework, do bedtimes, you know, find small, if working out is one of your priorities, find small ways to make it work. I mean, you posted a woman doing push-ups the other day with a baby in the background. That's actually what I do with my kids. We'll be in the kitchen. I'll go, okay, everyone do 10 push-ups. And we all do. We all jump down and do 10 push-ups. And mine are always better than theirs, I might add. I just keep them on the toes. But, you know, I'm just being silly now. But, you know, you don't have to go for the big, oh, I have to do my 30, 40-minute workout.
That takes away your power when you... If you can only see exercise and fitness in this tiny little lens, it's got to be 30 to 60 minutes a day or more. It's got to be balls to the wall, metabolic conditioning, and it's got to have the end goal of being as small and as lean as humanly possible. If that's the only lens you can see it through, holy shit, do you miss a lot of opportunities to move. You miss the chance to walk, to do a set of push-ups, to go for a hike, to go for a swim, to, you know, you miss all those chances to move your body joyfully and to see how you can accumulate a minute here, 5 minutes there, half an hour there, 10 minutes there, and move your body in a diverse number of ways with joy, and teach your children that movement is a part of hygiene, it's part of recreation, it's part of daily life, and not this punishing thing we have to do because we're not good enough until we do it.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That was quite profound, darling.
That's all I got.
I'm actually, you're exhausted now. I realize I am. You know, honestly, no, seriously, that way, it's just so helpful for women to hear that. It really is, because it's just taking down those boundaries and those blinkers off what we've been told all of these years. You know, I mean, for sure, I'm the person that's like, if you can get to the gym or work out 3-4 times a week, that's what you're aiming for. But I am also a realist, and I'm like, you know, my workouts this week look like 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And I'm trying to prioritize them as well. And this is my job, and I still don't do them. So I think if women get that and realize that and do the best they can, those small wins, that low hanging fruit, reap big rewards eventually. And I think that it's the process you have to buy into.
Yeah, you can't jump ahead on the, you know, you don't go up the mountain except for one step at a time. And it's like, you know, not to say that you got to love the people that had those big dreams. Like, I mean, I know everybody and their dog wants to run a marathon. And I tell you, honestly, I think it's the stupidest thing ever, but I'm going to piss a bunch of people off. But I know everybody wants to run a marathon. Everybody wants to climb a mountain. And that's okay. Those are great goals. But I think you really only make that possible as you start to feel those, like you said, those small wins. Those small wins happen, and you build, like, movement begets movement. You know, so if you drop down and you do a set of push-ups, or, you know, here, you and I are so similar in this way, and I know this about us, but like, we went to the park, the kids, and I see what I do when I go to a park. I scan for a place where can I do pull-ups, you know what I mean? Like, I can't do a full-on pull-up because I'm too long and too heavy right now, but I do rows. I'll do inverted rows. And that's what I do. I scan for where can I do some rows, you know, and we'll do, you know, we do a set of push-ups and make kids join, and we do these kinds of things. And that, when you
start, and then you play, and you play with your kids as well. Yeah.
And then you do more. And then you're not scared to do a set of push-ups. And the next time it's two sets of push-ups. And then it's like, oh, maybe I will try that yoga class. I'm not really intimidated anymore because my body doesn't, it feels good when I move, you know, and movement begets movement.
It's capable. Yeah, that's great. I had just before we finish, I just had this thought today, and I feel like I'm going to do an Instagram post on it. I was opening my garage door, and I had tons and tons of bags. I was doing back to school shop and everything, yeah. And also buying a magnifying mirror so I could actually see my face because I'm so blind. Now, and I had loads of bags, and somebody shouted, "Stop there, lady, I can help you." And I was like, I'm fine. I hate that, you know I do, but I know he was only trying to be polite. But I had so many bags, and I was carrying them in, and they were heavy and awkward. And I'm like, oh my God, every single woman I know does this. Yeah, every single woman I know who avoids doing strength training says they're not strong enough. I'm going to do a picture of me walking out of Walmart with 100 bags and saying, if you can do this, you can exercise. Yeah. So.
You already are exercising. You are.
Yes.
You already are doing it.
You're enhancing everything you do every day. Definitely.
Totally.
Okay, my dear. So let's, where can we find you? Where, if anybody is listening to the show and they want to check you out and you're Fletchkas.
Yeah. So come see them. So I share sort of, you know, exercise and body image and recipes and stuff on my Instagram a lot. And that is mom bod love. So it's mom.bod.love, or you can look me up, my name, Dara Bergeron. And through there on that profile, you can go check out Belly Bootcamp or Mama Reset, which are the two ways that I offer programming. I also do some writing, and some, I do coach some online clients, a select few, but most of my stuff is on there. So that's the best place to find me.
Right. And I'll make sure they're in the show notes so people can check them out. So thank you very much for coming on the show. It's always great to chat with you. I just love your practical like way of wording things and making every woman feel like she's capable. And that's what I think we need to tell, you know, get the message out, don't we?
Yes, I think so too. Thanks for having me.
And thank you everybody for joining the show this week. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the show. And now I have a quick favor to ask of you. Would you leave me a review? Every time you leave me a review, it helps me get in front of new listeners. It helps me to continue to put out great content and get fabulous guests on the show. And in return for you doing that, I will send you a free gift. I have a 12-week core focus program called Abs on Fire. All you need to do is two simple things. One, leave me a review on iTunes or Google. Two, email me at amanda@fitandchips.com and I'll wing that program over to you. Thanks so much, guys. The views and advice expressed in this show by myself are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider. Thanks so much for stopping by. Take care. Bye.